This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Jose Radio taking over the airwaves on a Wayback Wednesday from 1998. Jose, give us the brief background you just gave us on why you selected what you selected.
Well, actually, this song is from one of my favorite albums, Outkast. Aquemini came out in 98. I think this was the leading single for that album.
And if it wasn't, and it bridged a two-year gap, you'd be in violation. I'm just saying. Not that it happened, but we're watching you closely.
Got my eye on you.
Yes.
You mess up at all. Any violation, you're out!
You can play your own sound effect on that one, but you'll be out. Let you know.
All right, let's get some text out of the way. And then I've got something that I want to tie in all of the rankings together.
Yep.
It's an O-line ranking, but it's pass blocking efficiency. So we'll get to that in just a second. Let me get some of these texts out of the way.
Yeah, before we get to that, too, after the text, I got one for you that may be a solution for that white stuff in the back, those little marbles in the back of your throat.
I don't like the way you put that. The tonsil stones.
Yeah, there you go. The tonsil stones.
You know how our listeners are childish. Don't just say the white stuff.
Yeah. Good
these,
point.
These
it's not
these,
just our listeners.
These damn children. Yeah, you.
I resemble that remark.
I was going to say you too.
Yes.
All right. So Adam had to weigh in with his predictions for the Chiefs. This is what I talk about with me being cautiously optimistic and everyone else just losing their minds over Deshaun Watson after two games.
Yeah.
Adam says Deshaun Watson will rip apart the Chiefs. 250 plus yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, 1 rushing touchdown.
Have you seen the Chiefs defense?
Good luck with that, Adam.
That's without Tom Bahali and by the way, Eric Berry.
Somebody texted the show, Fred and RJ's pick of the week is the Texans.
Okay.
So you take the Texans plus you're getting a point. I wonder if they made that when it was 3.5 when the line came out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mandy said, did she miss the sleep app funnies? We did it last Wednesday. Yeah, we did it the last 2 weeks, but there's been a lot going on behind the scenes. We weren't able to do it this week. I promise you it'll be back next week.
Yep.
I promise. But just a bad week for us to be able to get to it this week. But we will get to it, Mandy. So don't worry. Next week, for sure. Somebody asked, Barry, my company's having a comedy show on the 27th in Beaumont. They won't disclose who the comedians are yet. Are you in it? No. I am not.
But you are considering driving down there to go see it, right?
But you should tell them to hire me. Just tell them to put me in it, and I'll go do it.
You're not going down to just to be a casual observer?
Absolutely not.
It's an easy drive.
A&M is a 26.5-point underdog, according to this text.
Yeah. And you said, what, 20? I said 17?
Yeah. 26.5.
I am way too optimistic.
Yeah, you are. The song I was thinking about by Bill Withers, Grandma's Hands, somebody texted in.
Okay.
It is a badass song, according to the texter. Bill Withers' Ain't No Sunshine is another good one.
Ain't No Sunshine is the one I was thinking about, yeah.
Somebody said, what is today's Wayback Wednesday theme? Because Barry's hour sounds like the Any Given Sunday track. Like, what? My hour didn't sound like the Any Given Sunday soundtrack, did it?
No.
I didn't think so. I tried to mix it up. In fact, I was even looking for some country to put in there. I was going to throw
you
in some.
You normally do.
I was going to throw in some CCR, but I had some Steppenwolf in there. I feel like I mixed it up pretty well.
Okay. At least you feel that way. I found this story that was apropos for you, by the way.
Well, hold on. Let me get this one guy. He said he's a master plumber, and if my water bill is $230 a month, I have a leak because that's 20,000 gallons a month. It's way more than that because I water my yard a lot because I don't want my grass to die.
You swim in your yard?
No. But that's
no, you wrecked.
So yeah, I wish it was a leak, sir. It's just not. It's excessive use.
So you know how we scan the internet every day looking for the best in sports and other things. I swear to you that this. I read this story and I have to bring this to you because it could be the solution to those white balls in the back of your mouth.
Damn it, Joel.
The tonsil stones. This one, a British man had a bad cough. He's a smoker. Doctors thought he had a lung tumor. They were ready to write the guy off, but you know what? Much better news ahead, but it could be the solution to all your problems. You might not have tonsil stones, Barry. It turned out to be a Playmobil traffic cone that he swallowed as a child.
What?
As a 7-year-old, he had a toy traffic cone and he was known to put a lot of things in his mouth.
Hey now.
They went in with a forceps. Oh, there you go. They went in with a forceps.
Uh-huh.
And they yanked out a mini traffic cone that he went, oh, good news. I was like a kid when I...
He found it. He's like, oh, there it is.
Now, how the hell is that thing sitting in your throat? If it's 10, 15 years?
Where was it lodged? I mean, if they got the forceps out and got it, it was lodged.
They went in with a forceps.
It in his tonsil?
They, in fact, found what was a toy traffic cone he had been given as a gift when he was 7. The patient confessed he used to swallow Playmobil pieces as a kid. Doctors pulled it out, and with that, the cough was gone, and he felt much better, although he is still a smoker.
That's weird.
Very weird.
I don't even know what happened to it, I'll be honest with you. I think it just went away on its own.
What were you swallowing as a kid?
Not toys.
Me either. I was thinking.
I did. No, when I was a baby, I ate a roach.
What?
Yeah. My mom freaked out, too.
Maybe that's why you're a germaphobe.
It could be. She said she had set me down on the floor and I was doing something. She was doing something and she turns around and looks and I have this big-ass tree roach halfway hanging out of my mouth as I'm eating it. Yeah, that's not good.
That's
not a good look. She freaked out. She's where I get my phobia of like flying bugs, like roaches and bees and stuff. Like, because I don't like roaches, but I'm not like deathly afraid of them until they start flying. Once they start flying, I turn into a huge, let's just be real. I turn into a huge bitch and I'll just take off running. I'm like, no, thank you.
That's a source of protein, but not the best way to get there.
I don't want that. No, yeah, that was not my shining moment as a child. By the way, Nestor Carmona, settle down, bro. I'm not the one that does the payouts for fantasy baseball. That's all on Yahoo. They'll pay you when they're ready. He keeps texting and tweeting me about getting paid.
So wait a minute. For your guys' fantasy baseball league, you collected the money and you give it to Yahoo?
Yeah, Yahoo handles everything. So you pay Yahoo.
Really?
And then they pay the winners out. And I don't have to ever worry about collecting actual
money.
Dude,
that's awesome.
It's great. But I don't get to handle when the payouts are, because if you go and look, it doesn't even show who the winner is yet.
I always thought that they did the week-to-weeks and all the standings and all the transactions and everything.
They do all that.
I didn't know that they did the money.
Oh, they'll keep track of the money as well, yeah.
Nick won't be getting a check.
Safe to say, no, he won't be getting a check. I am getting $140 for my exploits in the league. And I think Nestor's getting... 40?
When you say exploits, that means that you exploited everyone else to make sure you took advantage of them fully to make the most money?
I whooped that ass is what happened.
So you won it all?
Yeah. I ended up first in the league. Hmm.
Sounds fishy.
Oh, does it?
A little bit.
Yeah, so it's first place is 140, second was 40, and third was 20.
Okay.
Yeah. So Nestor's going to get $40, and he won't leave me alone about it. Okay. $40.
Man, hey, better off dead. $40. Great movie. I want my $2.
I guess.
Hey, some people need to get paid.
All texting, no tweeting said, Joel may know this, but every year they clean the roof of the Toyota Center. Mm-hmm. Does that make you happy? No, because no one can see it. Unless they're flying by, and then no one knows how dirty the city is from the plane. No, cleaning the roof of the Toyota Center doesn't make me happy. Clean the freeways. That would make me happy.
I'll tell you this. I was the one that brought up the fact that for years they used to do the flyovers for the national TV games and there was no logo on the top of the building. But at Staples Center, it like glowed in the dark and it had neon lights and everything else. It's like, if these people are paying all this money, you might want to put a logo up on top.
Right.
They finally did it. I mean, for the All-Star games, I mean, that's a badass look when they do the flyovers.
Yeah. So you're responsible for that?
Not solely, but I threw it out there.
Yeah. How much did it cost for them to put it on there?
That I don't know. But you know that they also...
That had to have been expensive to get that put on.
Oh,
there.
With the lighting and everything, I'm sure. But, you know, I also believe that, you know, the contract was like, I want to say like 25 years with Toyota. And it's in the millions of dollars per year range where they could afford it. But I do know that I think it's Levy. Actually, up on the roof, they have their own garden that they grow vegetables that they use in some of the food that they prepare during the course of the season in the building.
Really?
Which is pretty cool, yeah.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. Locally sourced vegetables.
That's correct.
Truck driver Joe has some advice for you, Jose. He said, play War Lowrider. Classic throwback song.
Ooh, that is a good song.
Yeah.
He's writing it down.
That
right
was
now.
From Truck Driver Joe hauling biodiesel. I don't know. That scares me a little.
You could play Barry and I's theme song right after that by War, and it would fit in beautifully as well.
Which one is that?
Why Can't We Be Friends?
Is that what it is?
It's War. It's another good song by War.
Okay.
And Summer would be the three play from War.
I didn't realize War had more than one good song.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I'll be damned.
Yeah. What is this? The Doors.
Yeah. Look at you, man.
Mixing it up.
I try to pick songs that I grew up really liking. So
you liked this song growing up?
Hell yeah.
I find that hard to believe.
In
high school, I discovered The Doors and it blew my mind.
Really?
So yeah.
I think The Doors are overrated.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The only song I liked that I stole from my sister was Come On Baby, Light My Fire by The Doors. And I stole it from her, and I would never let her play it. And so during the holidays, I was carrying it around saying, you know, no, you can't have it back. And I sat on it, and I broke it.
No.
Yep. That's that karma. Was the end of it, and I wrecked it.
That's karma.
Yeah.
Lamont said that when he was a kid, he would swallow marbles.
Oh.
You imagine having to poop out a thing of marbles?
Is that what they called it back then? Or?
I don't know. Man, but your poop would sink fast.
Just yeah.
Bloop, ksh, you'd hear it. You'd hear it hitting the toilet. Dink.
And the dink, big marbles dink. Were Aggies, were they not? Dink.
What?
When you play marbles, they're two different sized marbles, and the larger marbles are called Aggies, I believe.
I didn't know that.
It's a Midwest thing, maybe. I don't know.
Is it? I had marbles, but I never played marbles with anyone.
I didn't play the game, but I know...
That's old
kids
school.
That did, yeah.
Like, that's like 1950s games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were shopping the other day, and Lisa's like, by the way, the queen of any, you know, during, you go down a certain aisle in the grocery store, and like in the middle of the aisle, they put some randomly useless thing that they want you to look at and randomly, you know, instinctively buy.
Yep.
They market that just for my wife. Because like we now go down the aisle and I'll go, look, it's a potato peeler slash drinkster slash counter vacuum tool. Have we got one of these? She's like, whoa. I'm like, no, that's not for you. Yeah, she could keep those people in business, by the way. But they had Hot Wheel cars. Did you have Hot Wheels when you were a kid?
Yeah.
I collected them.
Yeah.
And that packaging of the individual cars, ooh, man. Before I collected cards and everything else, I was collecting Hot Wheels. I love those bad boys. That brought back some major memories. All right, so we continue to roll on. Jose's got hour number three of Way Back Wednesday. We've got special guests and more still coming up, so we'll talk some more football because Sarah Barshop will join us. She's from ESPN. She covers your Houston Texans with that big game on Sunday night against the Chiefs, so we're going to get to her at 3:30. And in between time, we've got plenty more to get to. And then after that, between 3:30 and 4, before we turn it over to the Blitz. So don't go anywhere. Much more of the usual suspects right around the corner right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Don't sleep on Jose.
Not bad.
No.
Not bad at all.
He's got some kicks in there.
Full disclosure, the only reason...
Google?
No. Kid Cudi remixed this song. And in my like sophomore year of high school, I was really into Kid Cudi. So I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, okay. This version's way better than that.
I have ruffled some... I'm rustling jimmies left and right this week. First, I pissed off everybody in the city by saying our city's ugly and needs to be cleaned up.
Right.
Which, by the way, I just took a bunch of pictures on my drive home that day.
Mm-hmm.
I can easily pull up a half a dozen pictures of just big-ass weeds growing on the side of the road. Look at this one. Look, do you see that? That's the support for an overpass, right? See all that brown stuff? Those are vines that have died. You see that green thing? That's a big-ass weed growing next to it. That's just
you stop
one example.
To take that picture?
No, that's while I was driving. I just boop as I was going along there. Anyway, so I rustled jimmies on that. And now I've said that the Doors are overrated. And boy, oh boy, are the jimmies still rustled.
You rustled my jimmies with that.
Randy Poole's like, I just lost a little respect for Barry. The Doors are overrated. Oh, my God. Someone told me to go jump off of 6'10".
Jeez.
Josh Rapp is like, what? The Doors are incredible. One of my favorite of all time. Blah, blah, blah. I just don't. I mean, it's an opinion. Some people think that the Stones are overrated or that they're the best band ever. Some people think that Pearl Jam is. You know what I mean? It's just...
Everybody has their opinion. We go over and over on this.
I mean, the
opinions are like a-holes. Everybody's got one, and they got one on every topic, and that's what makes the world round, unless you're Kyrie Irving. Then it's flat.
That's true.
That's another story.
Josh Rapp's one of his favorite bands is The Doors?
Oh, man.
Really? Of all time, of all the bands that have ever existed, The Doors? Okay. Think I mean,
about,
again...
But think about what you just said. Hey, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah, El Jefe said everyone's lost because no one played Nirvana or Foo Fighters.
I have a Nirvana song.
I played
song
Pantera
on my list,
and Metallica. And do I not get any credit for that?
My list isn't even over.
Yeah, that's true.
I just paid homage to a guy that died that's a legendary rock and roll guy. So there you go. So, again, as always, I don't care what El Jefe thinks.
We did that yesterday, though. You were just piggybacking off of yesterday.
No, I wasn't. Yes, and someone suggested we should do all Petty songs for the entire show.
Yeah, which, no.
Well, yes, because I did it anyway for my hour, and I don't care.
Did.
As you guys are now finding out, in case you thought I was kidding, I don't care what you think.
I just like to rustle your Jimmy, too. I like to get you upset.
What? Until you get those white balls out of the back of your mouth, don't worry about wrestling Jimmy's. You got plenty to deal with in your own throat.
All right.
Put the nuts in your mouth, and it's great.
I hate you, Jose. You're not getting a Christmas card this year. I want you to know that. You're not.
I don't believe
And I
that.
Even had something made in Spanish to say Feliz Navidad, and you're not getting one of those.
So you're just throwing it out?
I'm throwing it away. I had one just for you.
That's wasteful.
Oh, well, you're not getting it now. All right, so I teased the O-line rankings based on pass blocking efficiency.
Yep.
The Oakland Raiders are number one. The number one O-line for pass blocking efficiency, according to Pro Football Focus. They graded out at an 88.1. All right, Philly number two. All the rest doesn't matter. Everyone, we always tend to give the Dallas Cowboys so much credit. They are 18 on the list.
Now, remember, he said for pass blocking.
Efficiency.
Yeah.
So, the Cowboys are 18 on the list. Care to guess where the Texans are?
Higher than that.
Dead last.
Really? Yes. Okay, well, then they're close to getting that one right.
Dead last in pass blocking efficiency. They're graded out at a 65.5. Behind the Cardinals, behind the Seahawks, behind the Lions, behind the Colts, who all have trash offensive lines as well as the Texans do. Yeah, so you go from number one being an 88.1 to number 32, your Houston Texans being a 65.5.
Let me ask you something on that, right? They've looked better in the last few weeks. Is that because Deshaun's legs allow them to look better, or is that because they've been playing better as a unit? Because early on, I saw signs, not from Xavier Suofilo, but I saw signs that they were improving. But I saw so many people on social media in the last week or so go, trade Dwayne Brown now. Just get a draft pick. He's done. The line's great. Line ain't great, but how much of that is Watson's legs making them look better, and how much of that is them coming together as a unit?
Well, it's not his release, because they've said something to the effect of he's got the second slowest release in the NFL. Hmm. So it's got to be the fact that he does move in the pocket a little bit more than I think, because he'll get happy feet a little bit, but he won't release out of the pocket right away, which is good. He's done a good job of that. I think you've got to give some credit to Watson's legs, but let's also give some credit to Bill O'Brien, because he's done a good job of calling plays that don't expose this offensive line. He's not calling a lot of downfield, you know, routes that would need to develop. He's throwing a lot of stuff, the short and intermediate passing game, but he's also mixing in a ton of play action pass. And by using that play action pass, you freeze those linebackers. You can slow down the pass rush a little bit. I mean, look at Clowney, he bit on a play action pass that ended up in a touchdown. I think a little bit of credit goes to Watson and his ability to run. You got to respect that and set the edge, because you don't want that kid to get outside and torch you like he has been doing. But also give some credit to Bill O'Brien in the play calling.
No question, because not only that in the play calling, but the deception of having a guy running in motion right at the snap gives the defense the ability, the panic factor, where they got to play on their heels. They got to protect. They can't tee off where they're coming on full-blown blitzes. When they see a Will Fuller in motion, or they see that Watson could easily, like a couple times, where he fakes the handoff to the running back, he fakes to the receiver in motion, and then drops back to pass, you can't tee off on a quarterback like that and just zero in on him, because you've got to be aware of preventing what could possibly be if he hands off to one of those two guys. So I agree with you on that. I will give O'Brien credit for that aspect of it, because they definitely have opened up the offense a lot more with this guy.
Yeah. But that I didn't expect them to be last because I feel like they were making some progress. I feel like the first two games, they looked like one of the worst offensive lines in football. But the second two games, I think they've played a lot better. Now,
but how much is it the legs?
Well, and the Patriots defense, maybe
they're awful.
That front seven isn't as good as I thought or as anyone else thought. Right. That entire defense, it seems they can't even cover right now. The Titans defense is really good. So that's where I don't understand what went on in that game. You know what I mean? They did. The Texans played damn near a perfect game. Deshaun Watson almost played a perfect game, except for that stupid interception in the half.
Yeah. Which O'Brien said my bad on.
O'Brien said my bad?
Yes, he did. Yes,
did you watch the broadcast they were talking about?
Yeah.
They broke it down why, because he was looking right. He went back left. Terrible, his footwork was god awful. They pointed it out, and it caused the interception.
O'Brien said that's on me.
No, it had everything to do with Deshaun Watson. But he's a rookie. He's going to do it. That's fine.
The minute it happened, I said, there's one of those rookie mistakes that people have to expect.
It's so funny because it's what you can expect. Because the play before that, it was Ryan Griffin in the corner of the end zone, and it was a pass that either Ryan Griffin was going to catch it or it was going to go out of the back of the end zone and no one was going to catch it. In the double coverage, it was a perfect pass.
Mm-hmm.
It was a perfect pass that I was surprised to see a rookie make. And then he comes back and does the boneheaded move and throws the interception. It's what you're going to get from a kid that's still learning the game.
No question about it. That surprised me, though, about his release and the speed of his release.
Yeah, second
slowest. But I'll say this. Regardless of how slow it is, he's pretty damn accurate on the run, and that's hard to do. And I'll give him credit for that, because when he starts scrambling and then decides he's going to throw it, when he does really pick out a target, he can still place it pretty well. And that's valuable with a guy that's going to run as much as he does.
Yeah. Hey, when we come back, can we do this? I have the 11 best fantasy basketball team names that were fit to print.
That we might have to push that because your girl's coming up next.
Oh, yeah. We'll do it in the last segment then.
Yeah. So Sarah Barshop's coming up next of ESPN covering the Texans. Then after that, we'll have fantasy basketball names and more as we wrap up another great day of the show. So don't go anywhere. Texans news and football coming up next with Sarah Barshop. All that and more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 30 minutes still to go. The big show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, and a person of interest who has brought us great information in her debut performance on the show. Sarah Barshop joins us now. She let us know when Will Fuller was practicing last week, and lo and behold, Will played big. So, Sarah, for a lot of reasons, we thank you. We appreciate you. Not to mention the fact that I'm from Milwaukee. You went to Marquette. Another good sign. We like you a part of the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys. And I did not know about the Milwaukee connection. Thought it was a great place to spend my college years.
All right.
Yeah, see, guys, Barry hates it because I love it. That's just the way it goes.
Oh, Sarah, all he does is talk about Milwaukee and Wisconsin and ugh.
Tell Barry it's a great place to live three of the four seasons.
I was going to say, in the summer, if you haven't been to Milwaukee in the summer, you're definitely missing out. The winter, you can probably pass, but the rest of the year, it's a great place.
I would like Barry to shovel 27 inches of snow daily.
No, I'm good. Okay. Hey, Sarah, I got to ask you about this. There was a post on CBS Radio about the Bill O'Brien, and it came out that O'Brien really wanted to go with Watson after his week one performance in the preseason, but was talked out of it by Rick Smith. Have you heard this? Are you aware of this? And thoughts on it if it happens to be true?
So actually, he addressed this today. He said, I don't know where that comes from. You know, Rick and I meet about the roster every day. We talk today. So he didn't, I wouldn't say strongly disputed it, but he did say that, you know, he and Rick talk all the time. I don't doubt that's true. I think I just don't understand if Rick is the one who, I mean, he was the one who drafted him. He was the one who tried to trade up even higher to get him. He really wanted Deshaun Watson. So I'm not sure. To me, it doesn't make sense that Rick Smith wouldn't want to start him early in the year. So I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what happened. But to me, if Rick wanted to trade for him, it doesn't make sense that he'd be the one putting the brakes on starting Watson.
Yeah, and that's a kind of a follow-up to that, because when we saw Savage get replaced by Watson in the first half, after the first half, my initial thought was, who's making the decisions here? Was this something that was forced on Bill O'Brien or not? And I mean, what are your thoughts? Do you really believe they're collaborating with these decisions, or do you think that some of it's coming from above?
I don't know if they're collaborating. I mean, I think on some things, in that instance, I would guess that was a Bill decision, that he wasn't happy. I mean, as he says, Rick Smith is in charge of personnel and I'm in charge of coaching. And if he's in charge of coaching and, he saw what the offensive line was doing with Savage there and he wanted to make a change. So I don't know. I don't know that they see eye to eye on everything, just like, anyone else, but I would guess that was a Bill decision. I can't imagine that the higher-ups have that much control in-game.
All right, let's turn the focus a little bit to this Sunday night game, because I don't think anybody saw a win that decisive coming against Tennessee, though everybody will welcome it and was extremely pleased with it. But now we've got everybody talking about Deshaun Watson. Barry and I have talked about it during the show today. This is a different defense that they're going to see. It's going to be the best defense they've seen so far this year. It's going to be a far cry better than what Tennessee's defense brings to the table. And it's going to be a heck of a test on the national stage. Is this the coming out party for the nation for Deshaun Watson? And your thoughts on what is a huge game for the Texans Sunday night at home?
I think the coming out party was on Sunday against the Titans. I mean, when you put up points like that, and you set records like he did, or he tied the rookie record for touchdowns in a game. And when you do something like that, I think everyone noticed. And I think coaches and players have been quick to say this week, like, yeah, that was one game. Yes, Watson's very good, and we've seen that. We've known that. But that was also one game. Now, we also played well against the Patriots as well, of course. I think this will be a tougher defense. I mean, I don't know how much of it Sunday was Titans defense versus how good Deshaun Watson and the Texans offense was, and I think this will give us a clearer picture of where the team actually stands. And the Chiefs offense is also very good too. Alex Smith has been playing extremely well. They have Kareem Hunt, so I think it'll be a good test for the defense, which dominated early against the Titans, let up a little bit, and allowed those two touchdowns from Mariota. But other than that, I mean, obviously they played a good game and rebounded from their performance against New England. So I think this is a big game, and I don't know which way it will go, but I think it will be, and we're now a quarter into the season, I think this will be a good test to where what kind of team the Texans are and where they stand.
What do you make of the creativity and the play calling from Bill O'Brien? Is it part that he's got the weapons now that he's needed, or is it just that he can open it up because what else does he have to lose? What's going on? It looks to be a lot more creative over the last couple of weeks.
I think when you have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, you can do things that you couldn't do before. And that's not just Tom Savage, but Brock Osweiler. And in the past, they've never had a quarterback like Deshaun Watson. And, I mean, he's a pretty unique skill set, obviously. So I think part of it's that. Also, early in the season, he didn't have his weapons. I mean, he didn't have Will Fuller. And I think Fuller, obviously, he saw he had two touchdowns, but I think he does a lot more than that, just the way he opens the playbook and he opens up the field. Hopkins even said, this guy can't see in on me. They've got you would leave at least one defender who's holding them deep. So I think for reasons like that, I think a lot of things went right on Sunday. And so, like I said, I think I'll be curious to see what Bill does on Sunday against the Chiefs.
Couple questions for you on that front. Is it look like they're going to at least risk it by putting Will Fuller as their return man now with all the injuries? That he's going to actually be out there even with that shoulder to be returning punts and kicks as well. And then secondly, Braxton Miller, I mean, a guy that everybody thought was the young slot receiver that they needed. Wasn't he a healthy scratch last week? Is there something going on there that we're not catching on to?
He was a healthy scratch, which was surprising to me, because obviously you get Will Fuller back. You've released Jalen Strong. You really don't have a lot of options at receiver, and yet you're still choosing to make someone a healthy scratch. I think it has more to do with positions of need elsewhere. And if you don't think someone can contribute. Obviously, there are other guys you'd rather have active on the roster, and that's kind of what Bill said after the game. You know, it's some tough decisions to make, and Braxton was one of those. For returning, I think after, especially after you saw what he did against Tennessee, last year he had that punt return for a touchdown. I just think you don't want to take Fuller off the field. Obviously, the injury is a concern, and you want to be careful with him. But you know, Bill always says you can't coach in fear of that. You know, you've got to, guys get injured, and that's what the NFL is about. And you can't play scared, because then otherwise he wouldn't be on the field at all.
Any other news coming out of the press conference today? I know they signed Marcus Cromartie. Anything else that the peeps need to know about?
Greg Mantz is back at practice today. Bill O'Brien said he thought he looked good today at practice, and he has a shot to play Sunday. Obviously, Jeff Allen came back, and he played on Sunday against the Titans, and that offensive line looked a lot better than they had, especially, you know, in week one against the Jaguars. So I'm not sure, even if he is healthy and able to play, I'm not sure that they'll mess with the good thing. Maybe that was a one-game thing, and maybe they'll look different against the Chiefs defense, but that's something to keep an eye on.
Real quick, before we let you go, we always like to get your opinion. How do you see it playing out Sunday night at NRG?
I think it's a close game. I think the Chiefs will stay undefeated, but I think Watson will play well, and I think the defense will look more in line with what we saw Sunday. I just think Kareem Hunt, I mean, they've got a lot of speed, and I think maybe they'll have some issues stopping that.
J.J. Watt going to get his first sack of the year?
Hey, he says he's not too concerned about it, but I think maybe finally, and then people will stop asking about it, so he'll be happy.
Yeah, we all know that's a lie. He's concerned about it. Don't let him fool you.
But he's a good Wisconsin guy, Sarah. Oh, that's God. All we have to mention about that. Sarah, we appreciate you taking some time out of your busy day to spend some time with us. We appreciate the insight, and we look forward to having you on again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
There you go. Sarah Barshop right there. Follow her on Twitter for all the Texans' latest and greatest in terms of news and information, at Sarah Barshop on Twitter. We've got one segment still to go, Barry. Do you have any kind of titillating and tantalizing tidbits?
Well, somebody had asked what were my thoughts on the over-under on the Astros and the Texans game. And the over-under on the Astros game is 7. Way under on that with Sale and Verlander on the mound. But I think I would lean over on the Chiefs-Texans game, and I think it was at 47.5 the last time I looked. I'll look it up at the break, but okay. I think I would go over.
All right, one segment still to go on the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. I think they're coming to you live from the Hotel Zaza, where it's swanky and fancy and upscale. And AJ's actually wearing shirt and pants that were somewhat pleated and pressed at one time.
Yeah, I've never seen him dressed up like that.
I was
that.
Shocked.
Shout out to Matt and Katie for agreeing the Doors are overrated. You're the real MVP. Suck it, Jose.
Now we're giving away real MVP trophies.
Suck it, Jose.
All right, participation trophies are out the window. MVP trophies have been anointed, and we've got one segment to go before we turn over to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Move it up, son. Word. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one final segment of The Usual Suspects on a Way Back Wednesday. Jose bringing it. Jose doing two things that I always have faith in him, and that's tennis shoes and music. Jose, well done, sir.
Shook Ones Part 2. You can never go wrong on a Way Back Wednesday with this. Oh, so good. Yeah, props to you. Your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said, Jose's badass. Can we keep him? All right now.
Not nice.
Yeah.
We like Jose. We love Nick.
We love Jose. We love everybody.
Yep.
I mean, if we could keep both of you, we would.
There's an empty chair right there.
Yeah, we don't love you that much.
No. For Nick.
Oh, for Nick, yeah.
There's also a teddy bear right there.
So. Yeah. A couple more things. I just want to say, I'm not going to read it all, but shout out to the guy that's the master plumber that's telling me how to lower my water bill. I really appreciate that. I'm saving this text. I've never saved a text in my life, but I'm saving this text. It might actually help me. I love you, man. Thank you.
Well, someone needs to do something because that water bill is out of control.
Ridiculous. Somebody had a question. Would it make sense to play Marwin at DH and let Beltran pinch hit? Yeah, because Marwin's the better bat.
Yep.
I think it would make total sense. You look at what Beltran did down the stretch. Dude, 210 in August, 208 in September/October. Compare that to Marwin, who didn't have a great August at 221. He hit 363 in September/October. So, yeah, I'm letting Marwin be the DH, no doubt. That's the beauty of some of the guys that they've added to this roster, though. With Marwin Gonzalez, he can play left field. He can play first base. He can play any infield position. Mm-hmm. Tyler White can play first. He can play third. He can play left. You got a lot of guys that give you some flexibility if you sustain some injuries within the division series itself. So that's also why I like their chances.
We've given you so many different national and local looks at this team. And the one thing that everybody says is undeniable is their offensive prowess and their depth. They can go deep. They have versatility, as you just said, and that they're the most feared offensive team probably in the playoffs. It just comes down to, you know, starting pitching and relief pitching. And like you said, a one-time, very highly looked upon bullpen is suspect right now because of inconsistencies. But overall, that and throwing out runners, if those are your biggest concerns, you still got to ride with this team knowing that they got a pretty damn good chance.
Yep. This is another text. Major props. Good job, Jose. You did outstanding today. That's from truck driver Joe on I-10 driving on the freeway with a lot of weeds. At first, I thought he said he was driving on the freeway with a lot of weed.
And then I
was going to say, no, I don't condone that, truck driver Joe. But then I realized what he's talking about. He's like, I do agree with you, Barry. There are a lot of weeds.
I was going to take pictures, and I thought, no, because then someone could get in an accident, unlike you, just taking random snapshots as you drive.
Well, you know, they said Jose won. Yeah, you did. You stepped up big time.
Thank you.
It's not a competition, but you won.
Here you go. Oh, well, never mind. Yeah,
As we go?
No, the guy that asked about the comedy show in Beaumont, and I've already addressed it, he was like, I was out of my car. Did you address this, Barry? Yeah, go back and listen to the podcast, sir. It's not my fault you have a life. I can't help you with that. I don't know what to tell you. You should just be listening to the usual
suspects. We are very disappointed if you're not listening start to finish.
That's it. I mean, why get a life now? All right. Are you ready for these fantasy basketball?
Yes.
I think you're really going to like these.
Okay.
Do you play fantasy basketball? Ike wants to.
I do not, and I never would. It just takes too much time.
Ike was like, are you guys going to do a fantasy basketball league or maybe one on game day? And I'm like, no, I don't want to play fantasy basketball. I hate it. He's like, why? I was like, because if you don't get one of the five best players, you're screwed. You're losing. That's just been my experience the few times I've played.
Plus, if you thought I thought fantasy baseball you needed to spend too much time doing, I'm not doing basketball.
Well, not only that, but I remember this was back in the day when there was like five good centers or four good centers in the league, and they were dominant. And so if you didn't get one of them, you were done. I'm out on all that. All right, here you go. The 11 best fantasy basketball team names that are fit to print. So, 50 Shades of Clay.
Thompson.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Not bad.
Yeah.
Canard Dog. Do you know, have you watched The Office when Andy Bernard, he used to call himself the Nard Dog?
No.
So, the Canard Dog. There was Papa Thons. LeBronterage.
I really like that one. That was good.
Kyrie on my wayward son. I have no idea. I don't think I get that.
Kansas is an old rock band, and their song was Carry on My Wayward Son.
Oh, look at you.
There you go.
I like it. Young Shelvin.
Okay.
You know what that's from, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But Shelvin, the NBA player, is the only one I know of is Shelvin Mack.
Oh, there was, yeah, because it's Young Sheldon. Young Shelvin. Gasolar Eclipse of the Heart.
That's pretty good.
That is really
good. Took a little while to get there, but pretty good.
That is really good. Pennywise Hardaway. I like that because the clown name in It is Pennywise.
Okay.
I dig that. You Can Act Like a Manu.
Oh, boy.
The Godfather,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
Paul George Mall Cop.
I like that, too. Very well done there.
And then the last one is Space Yam. And it's just a picture of Michael Jordan, but his head has been replaced by a yam.
Okay.
They came up with a team picture. I really liked Paul George Mall Cop.
That's very good.
Yeah, and Pennywise Hardaway is pretty creative when you think about it because it's topical, it's relevant. But yeah, I've never had a basketball. Well, I haven't had a basketball team since like 94. I haven't played fantasy basketball.
When you shot the air ball half court hook shot?
No, fantasy basketball.
Oh, fantasy.
Yeah. Right. But I like those. I like 50 Shades of Clay as well. That's another
good one.
That's another good one. Yeah. But no, won't be. There won't be any fantasy basketball leagues popping up, Ike. Sorry.
Before we leave, though, there's a story that I had to get to for you today.
Okay.
There's a guy that out there that has created a sex robot named Samantha.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's essentially like a very realistic mannequin that, of course, can do a lot of things if you don't have someone to do them with you. He now says that he took the doll to an electronics festival in Austria last week, and now the randomly programmed robot with artificial intelligence, which does respond to gentle seduction, needs repairs. It seems as though people at the festival did not treat her very well. And as he put it, Samantha was molested and seriously damaged by attendees of the festival. The people mounted Samantha's breasts, her legs and her arms. Two of her fingers were broken and she was...
What are they doing with her fingers?
Heavily soiled.
I mean, what?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Seriously?
What is that term? I don't even know. Look, Jose's getting ready to dump. Starts with a B. They did that to a robot? You know what I'm saying?
He said people can be bad.
John's in the control room. He's like, don't say it, Barry. Please don't say
it. People can be bad because they do not understand that technology is what's important here. They did not have to pay for it. They treated the doll like barbarians. Seriously?
His daughter or something.
What did you expect? You put this, hooker-looking doll on display.
Right. That's funny.
Yeah, but what dude's going to do that?
I don't know.
In the middle of a festival?
That is nasty. Okay, NASCAR Johnny said he'll be listening from Colorado tomorrow, so shout out to NASCAR Johnny for listening on the road. Last thing, somebody said, do you think Gary Sanchez getting hit in the pills was karma for the cheap shot during the Detroit brawl? I forgot about that.
That's right.
That is a great point, though. Yeah, that might be text of the day. That is a great call on the karma. That's everything
actually
right
a
now.
Really accurate call, yep.
At first, I was like, ooh, I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but then...
What goes around comes around and hits them down. How about that?
You kind of got what you deserved.
You weren't going to say what
I was. Yeah,
thought about it.
I know how childish you are.
Look at you screening in the middle. Love it. All right, that'll about do it for us. One more show with Barry this week before we head to Beaumont, and he is heading to San Antonio, but he will be live via satellite tomorrow. Is that correct?
That is correct. I'll be on location.
Drive carefully, my friend, on I-10. Make sure you take pictures of all the pretty scenery. We will be back with another show. Jose, we appreciate you.
Good job,
and,
Jose.
You are out now the rest of the week?
I am. I'm going to Austin.
Okay, well, you travel safely as well,
too. You moving
too.
There?
No.
Darn it. Okay, cool. Well,
that
be
wasn't
safe.
Nice. All right, Jose, we appreciate you very much. Shout out to Nick, who had is taking some time out time off. But we will talk to you
Love
again
you,
tomorrow. We've got Fred AJ live from the Hotel Zaza coming up next. It's the Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I want to tell you guys about BBVA Compass, because I've told you several times throughout the show, and I'm going to tell you one more time. You still got time between now and 5 p.m. If you're a Dynamo fan, you want to head to one of the BBVA Compass locations I'm about to give you, because you can get tickets to the Houston Dynamo as they take on Cruz Azul Thursday, October the 5th in the BBVA Compass Dynamo Charities Cup at BBVA Compass Stadium. Now, BBVA Compass branches between now and 5 p.m. are going to be giving away these tickets, and you can score a pair, but you got to get to either the Sugar Land location, the 290 in Rose Hill, Atascocita, Buffalo Speedway, Medical Center Champions, Sterling Ridge, and Kingwood. That's today, between now and 5 p.m., your chance to score tickets to the 2017 BBVA Compass Dynamo Charities Cup between Dynamo and Cruz Azul. Good luck. Get going. BBVA Compass, creating opportunities.
ESPN 97.5.